Thank you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Yeah. Let it be known that we worship you, Lord. Let all the earth bow down before you, O God. There is none like you, O Lord. We worship you, O God. You saw us when we were nothing, O God. We were hurt and torn and ripped apart, O God. But you stooped down and picked us up, O God. You held us in your arms, O God. You cleaned us up, O God. You gave us a new name, O God. We are called by your name. We are called by your name. We are called by your name. O Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just soak right at this moment. It's okay.
Hello, everyone. This is Maria Schaefer, and I am here tonight again to share something with you about my book. And it's the second one I wrote, Heaven Waits, Hearing the Voice of God. Hopefully you were with me last week for the broadcast, and if not, you can actually download it and hear it. For first time, second time, Linda gives you that ability to hear it as much as you want over and over again. First of all, I'd like to thank Linda for the opportunity of coming on her radio broadcast station for the month of August. And I'll be sharing with you every Monday night at 7 o'clock her time. And I'll be sharing this week about some thoughts about Heaven Waits, Hearing the Voice of God. And first of all, I would just like to say a special word to Linda. She's just a very special person to have this station. She's not doing it for any other reason but to bless her listeners and for them to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And her only aim is to help people to be able to know who God is and his power and his might. And I'd also like to welcome you listeners in America and foreign countries. You might be listening to these broadcasts in the morning or at night. It depends on whatever country you're in. But whatever country you're in, it's a blessing that you're here with us and that you're willing to be taught more about the living God, Yahweh, his Son, Jesus Christ, and the wonderful Holy Spirit. So I'd like to go before the throne of God and just ask for his anointing to come forth and for him alone to be glorified. So let me pray for you even as we start this program. Father, I come before you asking for the power of the Holy Spirit to enter this radio broadcast, to open our eyes, ears, heart, mind to everything you want to teach tonight. You are Father, the only living God, this earth and heaven in this earth and heaven as well. I ask, Lord, that you would enter with your truth, your light, your life. Let the living water flow and reach those who are destined to be yours from the beginning, as it states in John 17. You have those destined for you that the Father has given you, Jesus Christ our Lord. Bring deliverance and healing to those who need it. I ask for the Holy Spirit to move through the unseen realm. Make the airwaves productive in your supernatural power and let heaven come forth. I ask that the angels come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be magnified and given the honor, Lord, that you deserve. Lord, be glorified. Allow nothing that is not of you to prosper in any way. Allow every seed sown tonight through the power of the Holy Spirit immediately be planted into rich, dark, mineral soil, heavenly ground. May it be watered in the heavenly realm with your face shining upon it. Build supernatural pathways through the sending of your angels. Let electronical technology in the airways be released from your kingdom. Bring forth the things from heaven you desire to build up your body. May your people and the listeners who might not understand who you are yet be able to hear your voice from this day forward and receive the heavenly knowledge of hearing the voice of God, your voice alone, Lord. And so my topic on hearing the voice of God is really important, and it's important for each person who's a Christian. And it helps in so many different ways that we don't even understand. It helps us as we pray in the Spirit. And if you don't know what that is, tongues, speaking in tongues, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Linda probably has a broadcast about it someplace, and try to look it up on her website. And praying in tongues is one of the best things that you can do if you have that gift and you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it really releases things within you, but it also gives you information from the heavenly realm as the Holy Spirit enters and brings new light and revelation into your walk with the Lord. Praying also teaches you how to pray for yourself and others, and that all comes through hearing the voice of God. And hearing the voice of God is really related to prayer in a special way. It can actually save your life. I had a tumor on the bottom of my foot, and that would be just an example. And I was in the doctor's office, and they thought it was cancer. And right in the middle of the visit, the Holy Spirit spoke within my spirit so loud and clear and said, "Get out of here right now." And that's exactly how he said it. And I haven't heard him say it in that way since that time. That was quite a few years ago, maybe like 8 years ago. And he just said it so clear. And I was just, the doctor's talking to me and the Holy Spirit's talking to me. And again, the doctor's saying, "Well, you should have all of this." You know, he's saying all the things lined up and surgery, and he's talking about all these things. And they were all negative because they believed the tumor was cancer. And the Holy Spirit said it again. He said, but he said it louder than the first time. He says, "Get out of here right now." And it was almost like if I didn't, it was almost like someone could take that as like he was so serious with it that there was no way you could miss it. And he gave me direction on what to do, what doctor to go to, and it's always amazing how God does not always pick the big names. He picks sometimes the people that he, and most of the time I'd say the people that he can work with. And this doctor ended up having a small office in another town. I told him what I had received in prayer after I left the office. And I told him that the Lord said he was going to heal this tumor. And he said he would work with me. And he said I'd have to come in quite a bit more, but he would work with me and we would see what God would do. He was a Christian, but he had never seen a miracle. And so that's what happened. I went for the visits, and it ended up I asked him for an ultrasound. And he did an ultrasound the first time I was there, and then when I visited again a couple of months later, I asked him if he would do another ultrasound, and he did. And I asked him if the tumor went down at all, and he said, "Oh, it was so small, you know, an amount that it had gone down that he said, well, I'm not sure, you know, it's not worth really mentioning, but I'm mentioning it to you." Well, I was elated. He was a little bit skeptical, but I was elated because I didn't care how much the tumor had gone down. I just cared that it had gone down, and I know God was answering my prayer. And with that, I, instead of praying, I laid hands on myself every morning after I took a shower and prayed for the tumor to go down. But after I had this ultrasound that I asked him if I could keep, and I ended up putting it in my Bible, I started thanking the Lord. And I started thanking him for healing this tumor. And sure enough, within about 3 weeks, the whole tumor had disappeared, and it was bigger on the inside than it was on the outside. The ultrasound showed. So it was the Holy Spirit when He spoke to me and says, "Get out of here right now." That meant He was trying to save me from going into surgery, going into all kinds of things that would happen when a surgeon works on the bottom of your foot. So, and that was totally hearing the voice of God. That was it. So you have to really, as a Christian, be open and willing, and I think most people are. They just don't know how it works to hear the voice of God, or they're afraid of hearing it, but yet God throughout the Bible speaks to His people. He wants us to hear. He desires for us to hear His voice. So also another example I'd like to give is when people get, and especially teenagers, I have a heart for teenagers, and when they get like into situations that they shouldn't be in, and if they're Christians, there's something within them that will tell them, no, don't go in that direction. And of course, it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives warnings, and they're on the inside, and they're usually not audible. Mine was not audible, but it was so deep within my spirit when the Holy Spirit spoke to me at the doctor's office that there was absolutely no doubt that it was the Holy Spirit. And so He gives these warnings just to let young people know, no, don't go in this direction. And it can actually, hearing the voice of God and knowing who He is, and our identity in Christ can actually save our lives. I can remember another incident of someone who worked on our cabinets in our kitchen. And he was recommended by a church member. And this man was supposed to be a Christian. He and his wife went to the church. One of the things that he was supposed to have done good work, but something came up. He asked for money to get materials for the pantry that he was to work on in our house before he even started the job. And when I started making out the check, I just had like a sick feeling to my stomach. And that's not one of the things that I have in the natural. It was a totally different feeling. And I was like, my stomach just kind of started turning. And I knew something was really wrong. And everything within me felt uncomfortable. I was to find out later that this man had really taken advantage of many of the people in the church, and he did the same thing, claiming he needed money before he started the job. My queasy feeling was such a strong sign from the Holy Spirit, and I found out from actually the pastor's wife that he was divorced, and he was paying alimony to his first wife, which actually he had missed for quite a while, and he was using the checks the people were giving him from the church to pay his former wife's alimony and support his present child and wife who were in the church. Now, if I would have, listened to the Holy Spirit even closer at that point, but I trusted him saying he was a Christian, and I'm not going to judge and say whether he is or isn't, but that was definitely an experience that showed me to be more careful and to listen to the voice of God. Even more to wait and meditate and see what the Lord has to say, even about people working in your house, people who you become friends with, anything like that, anything that's going to influence your life or that's going to make a change in your life or that's a service in your home. And that might sound radical to some people, but since God is our source and our first source for everything, as Christians, this is something that we should all do. And it takes time to learn these things, but once you learn them and they're instructions from the Lord, then you just move in them. And you'll be much more peaceful if you do it that way than just move ahead on your own. Now, I would just like to give a couple of practical things. I have a lot of people come to me and they'll ask me, like, how did you do your book and how do you publish a book? I feel like God is telling me I'm supposed to write a book. How did it happen for you? And one of the things I would just say, take it into prayer and take it into serious prayer. If you're the type of person that starts something and finishes it, you want to make sure that it's the Lord speaking to you. Books take a lot of time. They're not like you just don't write something down and end up not editing and editing and editing. And anyone who's written a book will understand this. And they're a lot of work. So you might as well plan taking a year out of your life if you're going to write a book and do it for the Lord. But if the Lord is telling you to do it and he is leading you, you really can't do anything else. It'll just be on your heart all the time. Now, a couple practical things that'll help as you're planning to write a book, and this is definitely for the beginner. This is, I run into people who have these thoughts on it, and they're good Christian people, and they just want to know more. And I just assume with listeners out there that there will be someone who thinks or wants to write a book. So I would say plan on taking time daily to do your book, even if it's just for a half hour, if it's for an hour, whatever time you can take. If you work full time, just plan time every day, whether it's first thing in the morning, that usually works the best for me, or whether it's at night, whatever works for you. And pray about the content daily. The Holy Spirit can come in, and usually the Holy Spirit comes in at all different times. I don't know about you, listener, but with me, sometimes it's the middle of the night that the Lord likes to talk. Other times it's early in the morning, whatever you're doing. Sometimes, you know, you can be exercising. He'll talk to you at all different times, so just be prepared to hear from him and have some kind of a notebook nearby to just take some notes. Whatever he's telling you, just write it down and pray over it again. And if the Lord is leading you to do anything that's going to impact his kingdom, which includes publishing a book, writing a book, expect the enemy to try to stop you through frustration, times of just wanting to let the whole project go. With me, it's editing and editing and editing, and I didn't feel to get an editor. The Lord actually said to me, I prayed about it, and the Lord said to me he would be my editor. And that's what he did with Heaven Waits, and that's what he also did with my newest book, Entering the Territory of Heaven. And I'm not saying it's wrong to get an editor. They can be a lot of help, especially for the first time. I shared about my book, Heaven Waits, last week, and it was really God who brought in a new friend, Professor William Harold, and he went over my poems. Heaven Waits is all poems. He went over my poems, and he would just suggest a different word, maybe in a sentence, punctuation, things like that, but he never really changed anything. So he was just great. The Lord really used him. And he's with the Lord now. And if he's listening to this broadcast, bless you, Harold, for being there for me. And before he left to be with the Lord and passed on, he wrote me a note and he said, I hope you publish a book again. And I take all that encouragement as being from God himself. We need authors. We need people to really share with the body of Christ. And if you're one of them, I just bless you in your next book or your first book or your book project, whatever it is, to help the body of Christ. Now, I'd like to just share on how I received healing grace and Heaven Waits, and mainly Heaven Waits. And somehow I used Heaven, Healing Grace, Heaven Waits. I was in the H's as far as the first letter of the book, and I finally got out of it by entering the territory of Heaven, my last book, which is going to be a series. But in Heaven Waits, during prayer, and I am an intercessor, and I've been praying since I first met the Lord. That's one thing he brought me into. And during prayer, I received to do a book on hearing the voice of God. And after praying about it some more, because I really didn't want to do another book just because of the time it takes and the other ministry work that I have with our ministry, Freedom in Yeshua, and being the founder, there's just a lot of work involved in that. And I wanted to make sure that it was the Lord. And the Lord said very clearly, most people have no idea on how to hear his voice. And I asked him, well, how did he want me to write the book? And he said, to go to my journals, and my journals are over 25 years, and to put them into a book. And, of course, not all of them, but the things that the Holy Spirit would direct that I had journaled. And I would recommend for anyone who even wants to write a book, or you don't even have to be an author, but just someone who wants to have a closer relationship with God, journal as much as you can. It's just one of the most productive things that you can do. So as I began to ask the Lord, well, what did this book look like? What did he want me to do? And he said, because I have so many journals, I have like boxes of journals, you can imagine, for over 25 years how many journals I have. And that was kind of like a mountain in my eyes, like overwhelming. Okay, which journals do you want me to pick, Lord? And he said to just go through them, and the Holy Spirit would show me. So as I began to do this and do the journaling and look through them, and I wrote everything down as to what I believed he was telling me about doing Heaven Waits, I noticed a pattern that was developed. It was just developing. The journals I chose all had a certain thread to them, and the three things that would reach people were prayer, first of all, God speaking, and scripture to confirm what he said. Now, I didn't plan this out. I didn't try to make it happen. It just happened that way. My journals literally were put together by the Holy Spirit, and just, of course, like I explained, certain areas of them, certain parts of them, different things I was going through at that time. And it was amazing to me how the Lord did that. I originally wanted somebody to help me, but again, you know, just on, okay, how do you do this with these journals? And the Lord again said no, and he said, no, I will be your editor. He said, give me every problem you can envision and you run across. So I noticed Heaven Waits has three voices, my prayer, God's answer, and the scripture speaking, and that goes with what I mentioned before. And really a fourth answer in putting it together, because of the, I could figure out how to get it together with the three different voices, and the Lord said, put the different typesetting in, and that'll clear it up. And so that was kind of interesting, too. Now, I'd like to get into my book and just read some things out of it for you, because I think it'll show you more than anything else how the Lord speaks and how things come together that he orchestrates. And if he orchestrates it, whether he's your editor or another person is your editor or whatever takes place, it'll work out. Okay, so this is the introduction on page 3, and it's First Experience with Visions. While in prayer, shortly after I got saved, I received what I would later learn was a vision. This became my first experience with intimacy and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the vision. I saw myself in a room that had no curtains as well as no carpet or furniture. The window blinds were drawn shut. There was little light coming through. I was sitting in the left-hand corner of a square room on a hardwood floor in a fetal position. Realizing, watching this, I was again 7 years old. Suddenly the door opened and Jesus entered. He walked directly towards me, kneeling next to me. He took my hand and spoke, stating, "This room was never prepared by me for you." He kept my hand in his, and he helped me up. The minute I began walking out of the room with him, I turned back into the woman in my early 20s, no longer the little girl in the corner. Continuing to hold my hand, Jesus walked me out of the room. As we walked, I looked behind me to see the change taking place. The room was disappearing as we entered the hallway. The spacious new hallway had doors opening into rooms. Looking at the door I just exited, I noticed that within seconds, the existing door was bolted. New drywall appeared over it. It was as though it had never been. Still holding my hand, Jesus walked me down a hallway into a new room. Letting go of my hand, he opened a new door in this hallway of doors. As we entered the room, it was easy to see that everything was designed by the perfect designer. The carpet, furniture, everything was placed in a strategic manner. I looked up to see a huge skylight open to heaven. It was a beautiful room with floor-to-ceiling windows. The view displayed magnificent gardens of flowers and fields. Everything looked so peaceful and pleasant. God's beautiful creation was in sight all around the room as I looked out the large windows. Light came from everywhere. No darkness could be seen. Then the Lord spoke again. "This is the room I had prepared for you and intend for you to live in." I came to as if in a dream, although awake. My face wet with tears. I had no understanding of what had taken place. In time, I would begin to understand the symbols, the things that Jesus was showing me in this vision. But at that time, all I felt was great peace, and the journey of wanting to know Jesus began. And I would say one of the things that hearing the voice of God has helped me to recognize is how much God wants a relationship with us, how much it means to Him for us to be able to hear Him and just know Him in the way that He really is. Like in this vision, He took me from where I was and that area within me of a little child who needed Him to be able to understand my identity in Christ, how only He could make that take place, how no one else could make it take place. And it was a wonder to me. Although I didn't understand it at that point, I wanted to know more and more and more about who He is and was to me at that time. And it just was such an opening. And I believe the Lord wants visions for all of us, visions and dreams for all of us to be able to understand our identity and fullness. And this, we can get a lot of that from Scripture, because Scripture will really is alive, so we can get a lot of that from Scripture. But then there's the personal things that God wants to give each one of us as Christians to be able to move in Him in a more intimate way. So I am going to read some more to you at this point. Let me see. I've got some notes here, and I'm going to try to stick with them. Last time I didn't, and this time I'm going to try to stick with them a little bit more. So let me read to you Heaven Waits, Words from God, and that would be the title of the page. Okay, and this is a word on faith. And I'll give you a little explanation after I read it. The Lord, and this is what the Lord spoke to me, and this would be the voice of the Lord. I have not trained you up in knowing me to now be defeated in your present situation. Move ahead in what I have shown you. The enemy has plans to destroy you. For remember, Satan comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. The word not means that this is his only purpose in your life. But I have come that you would have life and have life more abundantly. Do not trust only in what you see, hear, or think as your only source of knowing what I want to say to you or as the direction I am leading you. Instead, look at my word to you. Trust in the path we have walked together, as well as what I have spoken to you. Go back to the altar of remembrance that we shared, where I taught you what I wanted you to learn. Remember the times when you felt you could not make it through your heartache and problem, and I carried you. Think of these things. Put your thoughts on things that are lovely and just. All this is for our work and communion together as you walk on earth. Everything is for the two of us to be one in purpose. Know that I never will leave you nor forsake you, for remember, together we move on to what lies ahead, for I am with you always. And one of the things that in the book, I have little things in it, that under understanding, that would be my voice speaking, under understanding, and what he showed me in the situation. And some of these devotions, this book is like a daily devotional. Yeah, are things way in the beginning, and other things throughout the book are more recent, maybe in the last 5 years, 6 years. Altar of Remembrance, Understanding. The Altar of Remembrance is any situation that takes place where God has met you through a word and he has spoken to your spirit or a vision for your future, which you have received from him, as well as scripture that has brought revelation. This represents a place you go back to and see the power and the glory of God. And an inner vision is something that you can picture in your mind almost as though you are looking back on a memory, but it is given by God for the future, as well as to receive understanding of what he has led you to do in the past. That connects to the future. Not everything God does is always apparent. Some things we will never understand, but we are to move ahead and trust him for our direction. Okay, and the next one I'm going to read is page 16, and that one is Faith and Fear. And this one was when I was really going through a battle, a spiritual battle about something that was taking place that the Lord wanted me to do, and I didn't know if I was able to do what he was asking me to do. And so he said to me, afraid, why are you afraid? Has there been a time that you have known me when I did not answer your prayer? Maybe not in the way you thought, but always for your benefit. Can you remember a time since I have entered your heart that I have not surrounded you with my presence and peace when you have asked me to? Have I not always revealed myself to you and shown you the path to walk on? Look not to the fears of others as your direction, or to the path they have walked, for each person has their own unique designed road, uniquely designed road that I have created. It is not for you to judge. Leave this to me. Walk in the way I have led you. Build on the relationship we have together. Trust in the things I have spoken to you. Understand that if I take care of the birds in the air, how much more precious are you to me? And so this was something that looked really huge to me, but the Lord was saying, just move ahead with it and just let me take care of it. And he was asking me, and I felt really bad after, you know, I had this word. He had given me this word because he was saying, you know, when have I let you down? But yet at the same time, he did not say it. When the Lord speaks, he didn't say it in a way that was even condemning. He was just saying, look back, go back, and look at all the things that I've spoken to you and I've done for you and how they worked out. And, of course, when the Lord gives you something and you follow it, it's up to him to make it happen. And they ended up actually being good things that took place. And the next one I'd like to read is on page 17, and that's Faith in Battle. And I'll read this and see what the Lord shows. Be not discouraged in well-doing. Nothing is lost. You have gained everything, for you have trusted me. Through the battle, you have looked to my blueprint from heaven. You have taken my word and used it as your sword in the spirit. Although it might seem like little has taken place in the natural realm, be not fooled. The spiritual realm has been imparted by you following my directions. Because of this, the enemy is already defeated. For you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. This wickedness wants to battle within you. Be sure-minded of this fact. As long as you use my word and not your own self-effort, the enemy will be defeated. It is a promise from me. My word contains truth and light and life. There is nothing more powerful. You have some understanding of this, but you need much more. The things I have planned for those I have chosen need to know the revelation, power of my word. Take each scripture in each situation coming into your life, and the sword, my word, will be piercing the darkness of the enemy's plan. Visualize, child, what I'm telling you. See the light coming into the very area of attack. Recognize it is there for from your pain and suffering, healing will manifest, for my word carries power within it. The supernatural power will shatter the plan of the enemy. Ask me, and I will direct you towards the very scripture you need. I will open up the treasure it contains. Ask me, and I will open up the secret doors that are hidden from those who walk in their own wisdom. All you need to do is ask, for I am ever near you. And I put Isaiah 45, which is one of my favorite scriptures, and the whole chapter of Isaiah 45, and it goes into the secret places. And that actually, that word actually from the Lord came when I was very ill from a, if I'm remembering this clearly, from a, it was an allergic reaction I was having from painting when I was in my studio. And it was a paint that I hadn't read the full instructions on it, but it was very toxic, and I should have been using gloves, and which is foolish. I didn't read the full instructions, and I should have been using gloves, and instead I let the paint get on my hands, and I started feeling really crummy and knew that something was really wrong. And then when I went into prayer, the Lord said to me, read the instructions with the paint. And I read and I was just shocked. You know, here was a really bad chemical and, you know, really bad. And but the positive part in it is that I was in another artist's studio, two artists I know. I was in their studio, and I saw the same tube of paint laying by one of the artists' easel. And I asked her if she used gloves when she painted with it, and she said no, she hadn't. And I said, are you getting sick? And she was getting symptoms. And I said, it's from that paint. Read the instructions. So as artists, a lot of us do not read all the instructions on the tubes that we use for our art. And that's just a suggestion to any other artists out there to make sure you read the instructions on what you're supposed to use. Okay, the next one I'd like to read is called Love in Waiting, and that's on page 20. Okay. Waiting can be, and this is the Lord speaking, and the ones I've read have been the Lord speaking, except for the first one, and then my interpretation of what I was getting. Waiting can be one of the hardest things I know, for I wait for you to receive a revelation on how much you are loved by me. I have waited for a long time for you to know me. You have known me as your provider, but I have deeper revelation for you to understand. I want you to know me as your father, your daddy. If I tell you only through the disciplined act of seeking me, then you will be set free. If I tell you only through this disciplined act of seeking me, then you will be set free. Would you set your heart to follow the path I have set before you? Many times my people want to do things for me when all I want is to be their source. Understand that I can do all things myself. I want a heart that is surrendered to me. Be that heart, child. And then it was surrender your every longing to me. Surrender every thought to me. Surrender spirit, soul, and body to me. trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Proverbs 3:5. And this is out of a journal that was more in the beginning of my walk with him, but I have never forgotten the words that he said. And it was because many of us tend to believe that we have to work for him instead of just be with him. And he was teaching me at that point that he wanted to just be with me more than I wanted to. My thing was that I wanted to work for him, and I believe that working for him would be more successful than being with him. I almost thought in the beginning, and this is in 1972, I thought working for him was really what he wanted, and it wasn't. It was that he wanted me to be with him more than work for him. Although we do the work, and what I found is in being with him, I am so much more productive than just working for him, because he will tell us, don't do this, don't do that. He'll tell us what to connect with. He'll tell us how to handle certain things that we can't think of on our own. He will direct us in every single way that we are to function. The next one is faith in Father God, and that's on page 29. Child, trust me in all the things that are happening to you and have happened to you. I have always been there with you. You are my very own. Trust me, child. Your enemies shall be gone. You will look for them in vain, but will not find them. They will be gone, I say. I am holding you by your right hand. I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, do not be afraid. I am here to help you. Despised though you are, fear not, O Israel, for I will help you. I am the Lord your Redeemer. I am the Holy One of Israel. You shall be a new sharp-toothed threshing instrument to tear all your enemies apart, making shaft of mountains. You will toss them in the air. The wind shall blow them away. Whirlwinds shall scatter them, and the joy of the Lord shall fill you full. You shall glory in the God of Israel. And that's actually Isaiah 45. And the part in the first chapter, the Lord was speaking to me, and then he gave me the scripture. And he started going into the scripture in Isaiah 41. And the Lord does this at times with us, and sometimes we notice it, sometimes we don't. But I started noticing a pattern really early when I started journaling, and sometimes I would find scriptures that he had given me like the year before. And then I started taking those scriptures very seriously and researching them more and recognizing what he was trying to tell me even at that point a year before and how he was using it now. So I want to say to anyone that's going to be doing this in journaling, the Lord is patient. He's very kind. He will not rush you in any way if you're faithful to the things he's showing you. Even if you make mistakes, it's okay. We're all going to make mistakes. It's part of being human. And in fact, I just feel to share this. I can remember a time where I really felt like in order to be a Christian, you had to be perfect. And just, you couldn't be human. And I can remember going with my daughter and her friend and going down to Florida. And this is a memory I come back to, like, over and over again, to visit my mother who lived in Florida at that time and retired there. And I was really trying to be more than human for the Lord. And there are some of us out there that do this, and it's not good. And we're at the beach, and I said to my friend, could you take my daughter, and I just want to be alone with the Lord for a little bit here. You know, I just need to pray about something. And she was more than happy to do it. She stayed with me and at my mother's, and my daughter was there, as I said, and she was more than happy to do it. And so I was alone with the Lord, and I just said to him, you know, I can't take this Christian life. I really can't. I mean, everything I try, it's, I feel like I'm never doing enough, and I need to do more, and I just can't do anymore. And I said, I feel like you're asking too much. I give up. I just give up. And the Lord said to me so clearly, he said, Maria, welcome to the human race. Well, I just busted out laughing because I understood for the first time it wasn't what he wanted. This is something that I had been taught in the church that I went into after I was saved. And it was all about, you know, don't drink, don't smoke, don't, you know, chew or go with those who do. Well, I didn't drink other than a glass of wine once in a while. I didn't smoke. And I didn't chew, and I didn't think I went with those who do, but it was a constant, like, do, 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 instead of just be a human being, not a human doing. And the Lord just showed me so clearly, that's not what I want from you. It's not what I want you to do. You just be who I created you to be, come into your identity in who you are in Christ, and the finished work was done on the cross, and you don't have to do any more than I am leading you to do, not what man says, but what I say. And to me, that was such freedom when that took place. The next one I'd like to read is page 30, understanding. And this is me, and then it's the scripture. Sometimes the Lord would use the scripture for me to understand what he wanted to say, and I've explained that already. As I looked up the scripture, I would meditate on it and then go back to it as the Holy Spirit led. And again, journaling was the thing that was the most productive and helped me the most. And here's another scripture out of Isaiah 42, 5 through 8. This is what the Lord God says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have been taken away. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. And that is still one of my favorite scriptures, because Jesus, our Messiah, calls us righteous, and he has everything planned ahead for us. And I would like to read page 31 for you as well, and that is love and understanding. My Lord said to me, you cannot break off my presence. I'm always with you, always. No matter what mistakes you have made, I am here. And again, every time I would, for those listening who are more perfectionists, thank the Lord I'm not there anymore. But every time I would get down on myself, and it was not God's guilt coming at me, it was false guilt coming at me from the enemy. And it took me a while to recognize that. If you've been under teachings that are very hard on what you're supposed to be doing all the time, false guilt comes in. And that was a big part of it. And the understanding. In our time together, time alone with the Lord, I tuned out the world. Outside of our union of abiding, the world enters. Time together always meant the Lord having priority. Though for many years I have done a daily devotional, time set apart to hear his voice, there were times where the Lord would call me to spend more time with him. In my own thoughts, I would have reasoned there was nothing left he wanted to say to me. But if I did not follow his leading, I was to find out later I had missed something that he wanted to tell me. Since the Lord is not attached to time or people or codependent in any way, he does not run to anyone for advice. His time is eternal. He sees and knows time in a way that we will never understand. Most of us see time through our accomplishments. The Lord sees them through eternity. And that one was one where the Lord was teaching me about understanding the importance of being with him. I apologize for that beep that took place. I have a new phone that I had to get, and it actually beeped me on the other line, and I tried to get that out of there, but somehow I wasn't able to, so I apologize for that. So I think my time is actually up, and I would like to just pray for, well, maybe I can just share a few minutes on visions and similitudes and dreams, because that's in this book as well, at the back of the book, and there might be some people interested in just how that works.
You may take your time, Maria.
Oh, are you sure? I don't want to go over here.
Yes, you may take your time. I wanted to say that it's something we were discussing before the broadcast. And a lot of times at 7 o'clock, as soon as the broadcast begins, all hell breaks loose in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot to put my mic on. I was being called down in the other part of the house by one of my roommates, and I forgot to turn my mic off. So I don't know if the beginning of the broadcast you heard me talking about my cat or not. But,
No, I didn't.
Okay, cool.
No.
Okay, cool. I was concerned about that. And if you did, I apologize. And if I rerun this broadcast and I hear it, then I'll try to edit it out. But you go on and take your time.
Okay. The only thing I really felt was the vision, similitudes, and dreams. I think it's important for people to recognize the difference between the three of them. And,
you go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. And when I accepted Christ in 1972, I started getting pictures called Similitudes and Visions and Dreams. And sometimes there's also an inner knowing that can take place in receiving God's direction by the presence of the peace and joy that the Holy Spirit brings. Because Jesus wants us in relationship with Him, because this is a fact that the Holy Spirit constantly brings back into our spirit, He wants us to know the knowledge of the kingdom through His supernatural gifts. And He desires for us to know Him in this way. And I'm going to read Hosea 12:10. I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. In hearing God, one of the most productive ways to move in the Spirit is through receiving pictures from Him. In Hosea 12, the word used for picture is called a similitude, meaning mental picture or image. Prophets of old would literally prophesy the pictures they saw given by God. This took place centuries before any photography, television, or internet. God still uses this way of communicating to His people today. He is a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He desires for us to know and hear Him speak. Through the years, I've heard Christians say to me, while in prayer for them, they saw a picture in their mind as I was praying over them. This image was given by the Holy Spirit for the person to get either confirmation, direction, or any other information that God wanted the person to receive. Sometimes this image could be described as an impression as well, which has entered their spirit. This impression can be a picture or a moving scene. As I prayed for myself and others, the image and word of the Holy Spirit has shown this about pictures. When these pictures come in, they represent a prophetic word from the Lord. So with pictures that come into our mind, it's a good idea to journal them. And a lot of people don't do it. And then they'll say to me, well, I had something, but I can't remember, and I think it was this. Oh, that sounds kind of familiar, maybe this. That's not a good idea to do that, because it's really good to recognize that this is a holy moment when the Lord gives you this picture. I've pulled over on the side of the road to write down something the Lord has shown me. And I like to, get the whole word all the time. I don't like to just guess at it. I like to write every detail down. And there's something in the details that the Holy Spirit can use for showing you something that will take place in the future. So I prayed for someone, and I'm just going to share this. I prayed for someone after a conference I spoke at, and this was a couple of years back. As I laid hands on the person and prayed, I saw an eagle flying over a forest. The eagle was having great pleasure in just soaring above everything. I believe the person who requested prayer would be set free from the present problem they had. As I shared this with the individual, they informed me that the minute I began to pray, they saw an eagle in the sky in their mind's eye, but had no understanding on what it meant. This experience was a mental picture in their spirit, but is not a vision. It was a similitude. And a similitude is like a picture. And what was really neat about this, I still remember this woman, she had taken care of her parents for a long time. and she had moved to the location where I was speaking, and she didn't know how it would work out, and she was concerned and shared some of the things, her concerns with me. And when I saw this eagle, and she saw it at the same time, she started feeling like she was set free and that everything would work out. It just really freed her up. And then it was interesting because she told me, well, eagles mean a lot to me because I'm American Indian. So it was just kind of cute how God just puts everything in place. And then visions are usually very vivid in experience, and you can experience them with your eyes open or closed. Visions appear so real that sometimes you think the other people can see it, and if they're in the same room with you. And this brings me back to a vision I had when I became a president of a Christian organization. And I was sitting in the audience, and this is kind of in the beginning of learning more about open visions. And the first vision I had that I read in the beginning when I started speaking was an open vision, but then I didn't have open visions all the time. I had similitudes and senses that would come and just feelings that would come. And some visions, but not daily. It wasn't a daily vision. And so what I just read about the vision was very interesting, because I was on the phone one time, and I have a couple examples of this, but I'll just give this one. I was on the phone one time, and I'm talking to someone, and I was looking out my back window, looking out at the woods and the sky, and I'm talking to someone, and all of a sudden, I see this cloud, and it just looked totally and completely different than any cloud I'd ever seen, and the way it moved was different. And there wasn't a cloud in the sky that way. It was perfectly clear that, you know, not one cloud, other cloud I could see. And I had gone out earlier, and I love looking at, you know, nature, clouds, all that. And so I knew there wasn't anything in the sky, and I'm seeing it, and I just said, I got to hang up. And I just hung up the phone, went outside, and looked at this cloud that just came at a different speed and looked different than a regular cloud. And I'm looking, standing on my deck, and all of a sudden the cloud just stops right over my house, just right over my house. And at that point, I had a prayer group at my house. And so that was kind of a neat thing to share with the ladies. And it ended up that there were four of us together. It was a cell group of prayer. And all of us went into ministry and after the group was done. And the Lord had given that promise. We didn't even know he was going to do that. And he did it. We all ended up having our own ministries. And so the other example, let me see, of dreams, and I'm going to give the scripture for that, Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. An example of that would be that God gives dreams for warning, for instruction, for encouragement, or a prophetic direction. And years ago, I was going to be driving to a conference by myself. My destination was out of the city during the winter, and I was concerned about running into snow during the long drive. The night before I left, I had a dream of the most beautiful angel wings. They were so beautiful that I still remember them today. The Lord was telling me through the dream that divine protection would go with me, and it did. Although the weather was reported to be nasty the next day, nothing took place to make the trip dangerous. My dream was my confirmation in going to a very important event that would be life-changing. So God can use dreams in the most wonderful way. And then there's also, if he wants to give you a direction, he will give you peace and joy. That's another way that he will tell you that, yes, this is I'm doing this, and I will be with you. So that's just a little part of towards the end of the book, and that people can just get an idea what the book is about, and that I wanted to share. And also, if I could share my website, that would be good. If you want to know more about my books, you can go to www.abstractartandme.com. And if you want to know more about our ministry, my ministry, but it's really ours because I have people who work with me that help me out. So it's fun to have other people walking with you in it. And that is www.fiyministries.com. And it's not fly. Everyone thinks it's fly, but it's why free. It stands for Freedom in Yeshua. So fiyministries.com, and then you can hear more teachings there. So that's it. Thank you, Linda.
Oh, don't thank me. I'm honored and privileged to have you on the broadcast tonight. This has really ministered to me. It's been so quiet in the house all day, and your voice just is so appropriate to hear what God is saying with the tone of voice that you have. I've been so blessed. I've listened attentively while I'm sitting here looking out the window, and thank you, Minister Maria, author, artist. If you look on the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry, you'll see the slideshow with all of Maria's artwork. And so it'll minister to you. She's an author as well as an artist. I just praise God, because some people use ghostwriters and some people use the Holy Ghost to write through. The
yeah.
Holy Ghost can speak through you, and you can come out with a inspired by the Holy Ghost book, because a ghostwriter can't inspire by the Holy Ghost. Only the Holy Ghost can inspire through heaven. And we
right.
give God praise. Heaven waits. I was excited to hear what you had to read concerning hearing the voice of God and about heaven's waits. I appreciate you. I'm blessed with this divine connection. I'm just honored, Maria, to have you on the broadcast. Is there any final words you'd like to say before I close out?
Well, the only word I would say is if your listeners can tune in next week, because I'm going to be sharing about my third book, Entering the Territory of Heaven, and it's about visions I had of the heavenly realm and the millennium. And it's, I would say, like 85% of them were on the millennium, and how we're going to serve there, what we're going to be doing, goals, with levels, all different things on the millennium. And God has actually given me two visions when I was first saved on the millennium. And then he started giving me more visions just last year on the millennium. And just, I'll explain the whole thing and go into the whole thing, how it started. But it started through prayer. Everything in my life started mm-hmm. through prayer. So I'll go into how all that happened next time.
Well, praise God. I'm excited. I was reading up on that when I was programming your broadcast for next Monday night. And I'm excited. I want to hear all about it. And listen, I listen attentively to these broadcasts. And if I'm distracted, I will go on demand and listen to them again thoroughly. So we just give God all the praise, honor, and glory for you tonight, Maria. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
So you've been listening to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcasts. I am Evangelist Linda Caceres, and your CEO and founder and host. I think Maria did a great job opening the broadcast. She's going to open the broadcast next week. So we just want to pray for her throughout the week. We've both shared challenges that we've had throughout the day. But when you walk with God, that's what you have. And you know in the end you win. So I'm going to close out tonight, and I just want to remind you that only what you do for Christ will last. We do this broadcast for Jesus Christ and Him only. We give Him all the glory, honor, and praise. So you have a blessed night, I just want to say, and have God dreams. God bless you.